in the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
hello everyone, welcome to DMTF episode number 47, I think, right?
Yes, 47, indeed.
Yes. Yes, okay, I got a few nods here. All right, awesome. My name is Patrick. I hope you guys are doing great. And with me today, I have, as usual, Simon.
Hello.
Simon, who is looking for something. Ah, hi. Hi, Simon. Markus from Berlin. Hello.
Hi, Derby Sieger.
Yes.
The next derby.
Yeah, this season is a shit show, but hey, Derby Sieger, you know, that's something.
Okay, so,
and we have a newcomer today. It is Nick from Wisconsin, from the North American WhatsApp group. Hello, Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. I've been a long-time listener, so...
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I have the time, so...
Now, okay, so that was the... How can I say? That was the happy part of the podcast. From now on, it's downhill only.
That's okay, what you're trying to say here. Right. That's it for this week.
Nice to see you.
All done.
Yeah. See you. All right, so we can try and do a recap of the last couple of weeks. Hertha has played two games since the last episode. One draw against Stuttgart, 1-1. And a 3-0 defeat against Leipzig. So we can start with the game against Stuttgart, if you guys want. Do you remember anything at all? Did anything jump at you from that game? Nick, why don't we start with you?
Well, the big thing is Luka Netz's first goal for Hertha. And it was, he meant to take that touch. Perfect goal. And a perfect assist by Sami Khedira. Mm. And then their goal might or might not have been offside. Was it Piatek's foot or was it Kalajic's hand?
Yeah,
we don't know.
we never will, I guess. Jesus, yeah. I forgot about that detail, actually.
God. There's a lot of scope for debate on that one, I think. I mean, with the offside that wasn't, I've saw all sorts of clips of that, and I saw still photographs with lines and things drawn on it, and really for that to be to have been Piontek's foot, yeah, to my mind he would have had to do something really weird, like sort of develop a much longer shin bone or something to get his foot in that position. I don't, but
at the circus.
It, yeah, like he had some sort of superpower that suddenly, oh, I can extend my foot by an extra half meter. I didn't see it myself. I don't see how that could possibly not have been offside. But yeah, I'm wildly biased. I will admit that.
Well, I mean, if we talk about working at the circus, he is at the right club. Right? We can agree on that. Yeah. If I remember, Markus, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first half against Stuttgart was encouraging. It was positive overall. I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot right there. But
no, I think it's so long ago, so I'm not sure anymore. I had more the impression that it was the other way around, like that we slept the first half and then...
Oh, you're right.
And then,
you're right.
Me too.
How we would.
Yeah. Lucas Netz scored at the 82nd minute. So yeah. You're absolutely right. Sorry, I think I got my games mixed up.
For me, I actually think we actually played very well that whole game, except for that one goal, like their offside goal in the 45th minute, right before halftime. I didn't think we played terrible that first half either. It's more of the same. We had chances, but we couldn't take them.
Mm. Yeah, but the first half was a bit like old style sleepiness. It was not really bad, but what Dada said later is that we lost in the first half, not in the second half, just because we could if we would have played better as we did in the second half, then probably we would have win one this game.
One.
Yeah.
It's normal, Markus, that the right word doesn't come to your mind, because winning is not something that happens a lot these days.
No.
You know. And actually, I got. Simon, go ahead.
I was going to say about that first half. I mean, I sort of doodled down a few things whilst watching it. I think really, you know, very early on, Doddy had a shot which I think it went into the. I think it just went wide. He got sort of forced out towards the left, and it sort of went out past the post. I mean, other than that, which was really quite early on, I just got like, you know, shot, and none of them were our shots. Jostein doing his thing every now and again, which was nice to see, which was a positive from it. But at least we didn't. Yeah. There was a whole string of shots, and we didn't concede, which I guess is a positive. You know, either the defense did enough to get in the way, or Jostein saved it.
Yeah. Last episode, I dropped a few stats at the beginning, if you guys remember. This time, I'm going to do the same. In the last 8 games... I do because...
It's in our DNA.
Yeah, misery is in the Hertha DNA. In the last 8 games, we scored 3 goals. In the last 8 games, that's not enough. Yeah. I mean, on paper, we should do much better. And also, we just saw that, Nick, you probably saw it on the WhatsApp group as well. Out of the last 100 corner kicks, a big 0 goal. Woo! That's perfect. That's perfectly bad. It's awesome.
I think we should get a trophy for that. We hit the century mark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do they give consolation prizes to the teams that get relegated? Is that a trophy? Does that count?
If it was a trophy, it'll have to be a trophy with a hole drilled in the bottom so it can't hold any champagne.
Nice. So we can probably move on to the following game, the Leipzig game. I mean, at least it's bad, but it's fresher in our memories, I guess. So I guess there is more to say about it. So Marcus, do you remember the one thing that you can learn, quote unquote, from that game? Is there something at all?
No, I think actually not, and that has to do because my impression of this game was that we had a lot of we lacked a lot of game luck. That's what you say in German, like
Spiel. Okay.
And that's something we have actually quite a lot, which also means that probably our quality is not good, because if you have luck in the game, it also means that you're good. Like in German, you say Glück erzwingen, which is something like you enforce luck by just being mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
We probably are not that good. But then we also have bad luck. So that means, I don't know, like Leipzig was a very good game. I think we were like in large parts of the game, we were on the same height as them. But then like the first Halstenberg screamer, right? Screamer, that's the name. These goals I learned from you, Patrick. after that, somehow, like our moral was completely down, because that was such a beautiful goal. Mm. And then we realized, okay, like the game luck is not on our side again. Then the second goal, and after the second goal, it was actually gone. Even if I was still like sitting there, like a little boy, and be very hopeful with the big eyes, but then after the third goal, I lost hope and control.
We definitely kept up with them in the first half, but as you say, Captain Morgan scored a goal. He looks like a poor man's Captain Morgan, Zabica, right? Or maybe a homeless man, a homeless man's Captain Morgan, a very punchable face, if you ask me. But that's another thing entirely. Nick, I gotta ask you on the second goal. Do you think? I mean, I saw the replay. I think Guendouzi did get his hair pulled, but do you agree, or you're not sure?
Like, his hair gets pulled a little bit, but then he goes down clutching his face, which, if anything, he sold it too much. The rest just looked at him and goes, "Why are you holding your face?" And it was clearly incidental by Tyler Adams.
I think so, yeah.
it's still a bit frustrating just to watch that and then him, Guendouzi, be at fault for the next goal too, in my opinion. So
That's possible. I don't remember the third goal, to be honest. Simon?
It was a header, wasn't it?
I was just trying to think about that.
It was by Orban. I know that.
Yeah, Willy Orban.
But
I've sort of wrote a few things down about it. Is sloppy from Guendouzi. Is yes. Without a foul, sort of yeah. And the the first one when he went down after having his hair tugged, apparently. I mean, I gather because I was speaking to Jan earlier on today, and he'd been told not to fall over under those sort of circumstances, and make okay. it look like he's just been sort of poleaxed, but he's clearly not taking an awful lot of notice of that. Because he had his hair tugged a little bit, but
well, I mean,
he didn't have to go down. Also, like that, the thing.
No, yeah, exactly. Like you can do that in midfield, but you don't really want to do that like next to your goalkeeper, right?
No.
it's a really risky strategy, quote unquote, and of course it didn't work. So there you go.
The bit that led up to it, as I remember it, he took about sort of like four or five touches on the ball, you know, within the box like that. What he thought he was doing, I don't know. And then he sort of turns around and then he sort of just jumps into the ground. I mean, what was he doing? He'd only been on for about 2 minutes, and then he comes also off like true. That.
I mean, that's quite a way to make a first impression.
Anyway, you think he was playing for Leipzig the way he was behaving? But hey, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Very frustrating. So, I don't really know where to go from there. when it comes to that game,
maybe one addition to that is also that day, like he said, no, this was not a foul, and he doesn't have to fall like that. And then my impression is also relegation fight. Like if you do relegation fight, then you don't do this kind of this kind of tricks. Like a relegation fight means like just stand on your feet and go after the ball. Like you can't risk in such a situation that the referee is like whistling for you. So this is like it's not fighting mode, which I find a bit pity.
No.
But Guendouzi, I don't know what's up with Guendouzi. For me, it's still one of the best players, but at the moment, Dardai also said in some newspapers that he is a bit of his problem child because he doesn't behave the way he would like to do, but I'm a bit unsure what this all. There are some rumors that something like with Alderete and with him, working would make sense because he didn't play from the beginning since it's the second game, if I'm not wrong.
I think so, but this is not surprising. I was as you guys know, I'm an Arsenal fan. I was hoping that things would be different with Hertha, because that's how it went at the Arsenal. They got rid of him for that reason. He wasn't mature enough, and it looks like we are seeing the same pattern emerge at Hertha with him, unfortunately. So yeah, relegation. Nick, what do you think? Yes, no.
I think it's gonna be close. That's what you can say. I don't think, Mainz have been on some great form lately, but they, Bielefeld and Köln, they'll have a tough run of games coming up, but so do we. And we have a nice ending to the season. I think our last five games are, if I remember right, and just pull it up. It's Hoffenheim, Köln, Bielefeld, Schalke, Freiburg, and then Mainz for our last six games, which they're all winnable games, for me. And
yeah.
They certainly should be.
Yeah.
Should be. But, you know, but the next one against Wolfsburg, I'm not so sure. Yeah, anyway. So what else?
Maybe also some addition to that.
Of course, go ahead.
I don't think we will relegate. I'm a fanboy, so I don't expect that. but also like relying on the last games of the season. That's something what we did a bit in the first half of the season as well. And then we actually just won Schalke, and we had a draw against Köln, I think. That's something what I'm a bit afraid of. Because, you know, like, now at the moment, like, against Bayern, you don't have pressure. Against against Wolfsburg, you don't have pressure. Against Leipzig, don't you have pressure. But then, you have all these lower, or how do you say, like, these weaker teams, at least on paper. You have them all at the end, and then you have a lot of pressure that now you really need to score the point. That's maybe also why what happened in January. It seems to be difficult. I don't know, but I can understand that, but it's pressure.
The next four games are Wolfsburg, Augsburg, Dortmund, and Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah.
Interesting to you to come on.
I'm not sure what to think, to be quite honest.
We've
had a cop out. Go ahead, Simon.
We've had quite a long history of doing quite well, even if we haven't won, but do quite well against quite big teams. You know, Bayern in particular, we've had pretty good efforts over the years against them. Even when we've lost, we haven't been smashed kind of thing. And then we go on and lose against somebody that in theory should be a lesser team. So you think if you play that well against somebody like Bayern when they're doing really well, that we should be able to go along and beat, you know, like a smaller team in inverted commas. But we're
opponents.
Yeah,
we play up to our opponents or down, depends. You know,
it's play
as
like that.
Good or as badly as we need to. Yeah, it seems to be a pattern, and I'm so doom and gloom right now. But we tend to end our seasons badly, right? Like I don't remember ever going, you know, on a run at the end of the season. It's always and again. For the benefit of our listeners. Okay. Simon, you can cut that out.
we'll have to have a graphic to go with that, just to show the sort of swan dive going on.
Or a screenshot. Okay.
Yes.
It was just some, you know, stupid thought that crossed my mind. Relegation is like visiting a horrible country. You know you're there for only a few days. You appreciate the little differences. You try to ignore the desperation of the place. You enjoy whatever you can, but holy shit, you cannot wait to get out of there. So that's relegation. And hopefully they can go back up the next season if they do get relegated. So, of course, you know, fingers crossed and all. But Nick, how long have you been Hertha fan?
4 years now, and it's always been interesting because my dad's family is from Munich, so my family are Bayern Munich fans. And then when I traveled to Germany, I was like, wow, I went to Berlin first. I flew into Berlin, and it was sort of like, it's the best city I've ever been to. And it blew my mind. And then I went to Munich. I'm like, oh, this isn't that good.
Well spoken, sir. Words of wisdom right there.
Obviously, a fellow with discerning taste.
Yes, absolutely. So, so 4 years. So I guess you weren't a fan when they went down, right?
I was not. It's all new experience for me. But we've never been good. We've never been good when I've been a fan, so...
Okay, so in that case, I mean, Simon and Marcus, you guys do remember when we won the Zweite Bundesliga, we finished first. Do you remember? Of course, it's nice to be promoted, but like, how can I say? I remember feeling pretty good. Like, I knew it was the Zweite Bundesliga, the second division, but still winning a championship, quote unquote, felt nice. That felt, you know. So, am I crazy, winning, or did you guys feel pretty good? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved both second league seasons because, like, we won and we won and we won. Especially the second season, like we have the record
the highest number of points for a promoted team, I think.
That's true, yeah.
It was the Luhukai season, and like we won, and then suddenly like you get scared after not losing for such a long time. But then I was really scared about the first like about the Bundesliga when we came back. Yeah, and then we had this, and then I really thought, okay, now we are losing. And then the first game was against Frankfurt. You remember?
Yes, I do.
And then I thought, Frankfurt to play Europa League. We're probably like now we are going to lose again. It's first season. Then we won 6-1.
Yeah,
6-1.
Yes. First yeah, I was there.
What? One of my favorite games. That is. That was so unheard of. Like unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. Scored a game.
Well, yeah. So I mean, okay. So I again, doom and gloom. If we get relegated, at least I hope that we can crush some teams because I miss that feeling. You know, like you know, curb stomp someone 5-0. You know, nice. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know from personal experience, but I'm sure you're right, Patrick.
Oh yeah, curb stomping is my, you know, when I'm bored, I go for a walk and I look out.
I think that game that Marcus was just talking about was the closest we've come to doing that to anybody, I think. But
I think so. Well, I mean, we won 4-0 against Union. Was it earlier this year or last year?
4-1 was last season.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we won earlier this season, but it was 2-1 or 2-1-0?
3-1.
3-1. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Because we have the Piatek double off the bench in like 3 minutes.
Ah, yes. Yeah. That's true. Good. Nice. Good time.
But it was a shitty game. It was not the best game.
Simon, go ahead.
What did we beat Schalke by? Because that was a fairly...
3-0, I think.
Was it 3-0?
Yeah.
3-0. Speaking of 3-0 defeats, we beat Augsburg 3-0 on the 7th of November.
Okay.
And then on the first day of the season, we beat Bremen 4-1.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
We should have quit then, actually.
All reminiscing good times.
Trying to get with the straws.
Yeah, exactly. We can, you know, grasp at whatever we can. Also, I'd like to give a shout to Matt Herman and Niklas from the Talking Foosball podcast. They dropped a new episode this morning, I think. And they talked about, I wrote this down. They talked about different spices and condiments. And Nick also mentioned the Schwarzwalde Kirschtorte, Mitzahle. And I just wrote here at the NTF, we are here to talk about a massive shit sandwich dripping from all sides. So yeah, here we are. That's it. I had to say it. We are all over the place and just like the team. Okay, so Wolfsburg, this is on Saturday, right? Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention something. At least we got good news. Cordoba will be back in the lineup, I think.
He's back training, isn't he?
On the bench, yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. The bench.
Torreira and Marvin are both back training, too.
Okay, I didn't know that. And did they say anything about the timetable for their return, like in two weeks or 3 weeks or whatever?
Not that I heard. Marcus?
No, I don't know that. No. Okay, but talking about Jordan Torunariga, we should maybe also mention Martin Dardai, who had his debut last. His starting lineup, which is the second son of Pal Dardai, and seems to be the most talented, apparently, of the three sons. Like Falco, he's now in Hungary. He didn't turn out to be a Bundesliga player. But then Marton, I was quite impressed on how he played. Like he played these long pass, a few of very nice long passes, and he was involved also in some attacks. And then he played free kicks and corners. I was very surprised about that. Like, the youngest player of all, and then he showing these things. I like that.
what, working on the corners, we cannot get any worse. So, you know, put the new guy there. You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, people have asked about, you know, where do we try and go from here? And pretty obviously the free kick taking and corners. I mean, our record over the last year probably has been diabolically bad. And that clearly has to be something that,
that's true,
you know, we work on. Because, I mean, we're taking the corners and taking the free kicks and just dropping them in the right place is something you can just practice and practice and practice. And, yeah, they need to get, you know, one or two people, you know, sort of trained up and drilled to be able to do that, because it's really quite sad. I mean, so many of our corners don't get past the first man, which is just, you know, madness at this level. It's just, it shouldn't be happening. I mean, at one point, Plattenhardt used to drop in the occasional good one, but even when he's playing, he doesn't seem to be doing it these days, sure, for whatever reason. But somehow or other, the coaching team,
for a few weeks, right?
He has, yeah, he has been injured. But even when he was playing, you know, recently, he's not come up with the goods.
Yeah, he's been regressing in that regard. Because, as you said, I think even for the national team, he was taking the corners, I think, right?
Mm.
Marcus, do you remember? You look puzzled.
But which player are you speaking about? Plattenhardt?
Yes. I think I remember seeing him.
I mean, he was left out completely by his team members. That's what I remember from Plattenhardt in the national team.
I mean, he did come onto the pitch a few times, but he didn't do anything special.
Maybe I'm misremembering, or maybe it was like an international friendly or something, and those games are shit, as we know. So, you know, so yeah, don't ignore what I said, basically, is what I'm saying.
Okay,
bye. All right. Oh, shit. Listener's question. Yeah, we got a question from Nick. Yeah, Don't Poke the Bear cast. But first, I got to say, Brian from the WhatsApp group said, Preetz sports manager legacy might very well be a third relegation, shaking my head. And then I said, it's like taking a shit in a mailbox just before moving out.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Sorry. Then Brian say, or visiting someone's house and leaving a floater. And then Lucas adds up to it. If we get relegated, that's not just a floater, that's a top decking. I also learned that it's got different names, because Brian called it an upper decker, and I think it was Joel who called it something else. Do you remember, Nick, what it was?
I don't remember what it was, but it was good.
That was the best part of the Leipzig game, pretty much. So, okay, sorry. Shit. Anyway. Okay, so Nick, your question was, if all players were healthy, what would be your ideal starting lineup, formation and players? Okay, this is above my pay grade, so I will leave that to Simon and Marcus. Or Nick, if you have any suggestions.
Nick is going to start with this.
I can start. I actually really enjoyed the lineup that we put out against Leipzig. And I thought before that, Sabitzer screamer, which when that happened, I was like, wow, that's a good goal. What can you do about it? But as the week has gone on and I've had to see it over and over on social media, I've just realized I hate that goal. I hate Sabitzer. It's terrible.
You're not going to drink Captain Morgan anymore.
No. <Nope. laughs>
Can't even look at him.
He is, yeah, that's true.
But I thought that 3-5-2 we played was very, with Klünter at that right center back, his speed really helped to neutralize any threats they had. And then I think we played Martin Dardai at left center back, and that could be a spot where Tuonariga could easily step in and perform there. And then Stark and Boyata could be interchangeable at that center back, which was very helpful. I think I'm going to surprise myself. I thought Wecky played actually decent as a right wing back, which I haven't been the biggest fan of Lecky
No one has.
But he actually played.
Except his mom, maybe.
I'm not even sure about that.
you're right, though. Sorry, I'm cutting in. But yeah, you're right. When I saw that Lecky was starting, I was like trying to lose that game. But you're right. He was okay. Surprisingly so.
Yeah, I thought he and Maxi played very well at wingbacks. I mean, Lecky shut down Angelino, who's arguably the best left back in the Bundesliga right now. No offense.
Another punchable face also. Very punchable face.
Yeah, and then I thought our midfield in that game actually performed decently well. I was actually happy with the... I'm not the biggest Guendouzi fan, I'll say that. I've always thought he was a bit immature, and in games when we're on the front foot, he's well. But his defensive ability, I thought he would be a great defender to start the season. But as gone on, he's not that good. He makes stupid decisions, and sometimes I feel like I could make the same decisions that he does and could have the same outcome. So,
his hair.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Thankfully, I don't. I don't think I could pull it off either. So, I thought Toussaint and Cunha playing at midfield was actually very well, because he could dictate the play for our team, which is something we've been missing. But sometimes I do think we need somebody in the midfield like Khedira to just hold everything up and to calm us down. But then I'd take Doty out of the starting lineup from that Leipzig game and put in Cordoba as a stronger physical presence. But otherwise, it's that same formation. And Jarstein and Schwolo, I don't know which one I'd rather have start. I feel bad for Schwolo, because we see all these big saves Jarstein is making, and I think Schwolo could have made them. He just didn't have the opportunity to. And a lot of the goals he let in, there was maybe one goal I saw this season that I thought he should have saved. The rest were, they were pretty, well, good shots. So,
yeah, I mean, Jarstein was so good for so long, and then he dropped a little bit last season or the season before. And, I guess Schwolo was worth a try. But right now, I would still go with Jarstein right now.
I think I would.
Marcus, what do you think about that formation?
I'm especially fond of the central defense, the way you put it. I'm after seeing Dardai, I'm super impressed. Now, really, I want to see him always. My only problem with Dardai is that actually Torunariga is playing on the same position, and I love Jordan, but I also love Martin Dardai. Now I feel a bit like a polygamist. but I would be fine with three center backs, like two with the left foot, and then on the right Boyata. That's something what I would like. But then my second problem is I would like Jerome Boateng to come back to us, and he's also a left footist. So we would have three. Like if I would be the coach, we would have three left footists on our center. Well, enough of that, even center back. And then where to put Boyata? Well, I will put four center back as well, but then the system doesn't work anymore.
Can you have a team of center backs and just
I mean, not a quad of center backs.
No, I mean, center backs and Ibrahimovic.
We'd probably go both.
Didn't Sir Alex Ferguson play like seven center backs in a Manchester United game in like 2011 or something? The midfield was center backs. The center backs were center backs. He had center backs playing wing backs.
I don't remember that. That's possible. In his last few seasons, I guess.
I would assume, yeah. I think it was
the team was. The team was pretty bad during those years, if I remember. All the big players were getting old, and the young ones were shit, like, you know, Nani and...
He was okay in his last... I think he won the league in his last season, Ferguson.
Yeah, okay, so it must have been a few years before that, I guess.
But a lot of the people that he won that league with were quite old, and then it all went to pot after that, which
That's probably what I had in mind, because after Ferguson, it was David Moyes, I think, and Louis van Gaal, and a few others, and then nothing worked.
Louis van Gaal, and then Jose Mourinho, and then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, that's true. Are you a Man U fan?
Like, they're the first team I ever saw play soccer. So I was like, oh, I was. But now I've fallen out of love with the Premier League. It's the weirdest thing.
Tell us more.
Like, the more I've watched the Bundesliga, the more I watch the Premier League, I realize it's like watching American high school varsity soccer because it's so physical. It almost lacks, it's the same thing. When in the Bundesliga, you have more skills. Like, I've actually liked Thiago at Liverpool, but I just find it funny how all the Premier League fans are like, he's terrible because he's more specialized. He's not the big physical player. And you can see when German players go to the Premier League, it's a whole different type of soccer and it's a whole different thing. And it's also, I don't get NBC Sports at college, so
okay.
I can't watch it.
Whoops. Well, yeah, I mean, there's always streams, but, you know, if you get caught, that's another thing. I mean, it's unlikely, but, you know, do you want to risk it? Is it worth it? Probably not.
What's the reward?
It was one of the questions on Twitter, like, if we get relegated to the second league, how are we going to watch the game?
Yeah, it was Josh. Exactly. Yes. That was my next question.
Oh,
where do I watch Zweite Bundesliga matches? Okay, serious question now. Well, actually, the previous question was good. How deep do the issues at the club go? What needs to be done to get the most out of the talent we now have? Oh, boy. Jesus.
That's a big question.
It is a big question. Some of the deep problems, because Preetz, being there for such a long time, needed to be moved on, I think, and that's happened. I mean, we've got some wonderful players there. It's not a matter of the individual players, as I say sort of quite often, really. It's whether we can get them to actually sort of work together and do, you know, what Dardai wants them to do. Again, I was talking to Jan earlier on, and apparently there were some, I think it was tweets, I think it was, that were saying, I think it was one of your favourite, Martin, Marcus. Apparently he'd been told not to pass it, you know, cut it back into the middle, but to go out to the sides. And he was doing that quite a lot. And, you know, he's got to learn to do as he's told. You know, because it's all part of the overall system, and the management and things can't you know, plan towards strategies to try to sort of beat the opposing team if you have people going off doing their own thing. You know, he's a young lad; he's still learning. And what
I found
have you,
the tweets you're talking about. I did find the tweets. It was about Guendouzi and Aldarete, and it was, so the first one, Dardai said, it's like puberty for him. He's rebellious. He has to learn like animals. This is the translated version. I'm not going to translate it myself. In training, he gives up on duels and he just throws himself out and he's always angry. And then with Aldarete, Dardai forbade him from passing through the middle of the field.
I must have put the name wrong.
Yeah. And Aldarete still plays him through the middle. And then Pal Dardai says, I'm not going to play him until he listens.
Jesus, well, that's clear enough.
That makes sense. Yeah,
but that has also been.
Aldarete has been. I mean, go ahead, Marco. Sorry,
we have a delay, so I also always interrupt. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's also what happened 2 games ago, or was it the last game, that people were not following the instructions so well, so that they were doing a bit what they wanted to do, and then Sami Khedira's role was to get in there and then to teach them or to command them technical discipline, so that they have to do certain things. Pal Dardai was continuing since 3 or 4 games that he was saying at the press conference that we did not do what we agreed beforehand. And he repeated, we did not do what we agreed on beforehand. So it's probably something like the plan is good, but then at the end, people on the pitch, they do what they want. And that seems to be with Aldarete the case. And also with Guendouzi and with Cunha, this has also been the case. And well, with Osip Kibakio anyway, because that's what he already did under Labbadia. Yeah. And then it's, with Aldarete, with his passes into the center, like he told it many times, and he still does it. So now he's sitting on the bench.
Aldarete has been disappointing. I mean, I didn't expect any. I didn't expect a world-class player, but still, you know, pretty bad. Bad decisions and, you know, sloppy.
His but passing better than Rekic last year.
True.
I'm sorry, Nick. What did you say?
I'm saying his passing has been horrendous. He's been good in the air, which is something I've noticed that our other defenders hasn't. He's been good at getting out crosses, but then he heads them right back to them. Or he just makes stupid decisions, like he has time to take the ball down and make a pass, and he just heads it right back to them. And you can see, like,
nice.
Like, you could see in one of the games, Stark literally looked at him and was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, I cannot blame him.
I don't think he's been as bad, speaking of our summer signings, as Deo Faiso Zeifuk. He's been
He's been shocking.
Is he injured right now or
no? He's just not getting picked.
Wow.
He hasn't played since the 19th of January against Hoffenheim, where he played 45 minutes and he was whatever.
He was pulled at halftime, I guess. Or maybe he came on for the second half?
Yeah, because Pekarić pulled up a little bit.
Okay.
He had enough.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it goes to show you, I thought he was injured. Like, you know, he disappeared from existence.
He hasn't even been on the bench since the game against Bremen.
Jesus. Okay. So that are we good with that question, or we can move to another one? I mean, how deep do the issues at the club go? It could be an episode in itself, honestly.
But actually, I think since Sami Khedira is there, and maybe then also Radonjić, I think he's better than nothing. I'm optimistic because I see that we played better than we did since Union. Like after Union, we played really, really bad the whole time. And now there's something different. Now there's more motivation back, and I still think Dada is the right person at the moment. It took a while to I wasn't sure in the beginning, but now I think he's the right person because he's probably the one who can take over the leadership in this team. And then with Sami Khedira on the pitch. So that I would answer Josh's question like this. So
all right,
it's the way to take
it. It'll be a difficult job for him to take that leadership role on the pitch with some of the sort of hothead characters that we've got sloshing around the place. I mean, after the first goal against Leipzig, you know, Cunha got all rattled and he was sort of, you know, clucking around like a headless chicken for a little while. And it's quite difficult when you're on the pitch trying to play your role as a player, and you've got people sort of going off like loose cannons. You know, yeah, if you've got Cunha you doing that, then Doozy sort of having a hairdo while he's on the pitch, and, you know, it's going to be difficult as a captain.
I'm wondering if Khedira really knew what he was getting into. Probably not, eh? Nick, you're shaking your head.
He had no idea.
Poor guy. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, so next question. Meredith from the WhatsApp group says, got to pose this one to both English podcasts too, because I'm curious, weird Leipzig lineup, did it work-ish? We covered that a little bit a few minutes ago. I think it did, you know, surprisingly so.
Because, you know, the starting lineup,
Nicky worked, and most, I'd say, yeah, it worked pretty much. Simon, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it started off quite well. It all went to pot a little bit, sort of latterly, but it seemed to work quite surprisingly well. Really, I thought anyway.
So, do you guys have any predictions lineup wise against Wolfsburg?
After seeing the lineup we put out against Leipzig, I have no clue what Pal's going to do.
Well, okay, so Cordoba will be, as far as we know, he will be on the bench. Okay.
Might be.
Yeah,
as well.
I agree. Yes, for sure. I agree. So, do we have other questions? I got to find it again. Okay, this is not related to Hertha at all, but I don't know. You guys probably heard about Rummenigge when he was questioned about is the Bayern's relationship with Qatar.
Yeah.
And he completely, you know, dodged the question, and he answered some BS. I forgot what exactly. I know it's Bayern, and we hate them. But do you guys have any thoughts on that, on their relationship with Qatar? Nick, we can start with you if you want.
I mean, the Qatari government it's interesting to say the least. I mean, you have various human rights violations, but it looks like in soccer, money's money, and people don't really care where their money's coming from. You have Schalke and Gazprom.
Oh yeah, it's true.
You either pick like Russian investors with Abramovich, with Chelsea and all that, which they have their own sketchy past. I can't even say the word right now, but and then you have Middle Eastern billionaires, and it's hard to not care, but yet in the end I've sort of just realized they have more money than my voice can matter. So
that's true.
Until the Bayern fans start protesting against it, which they're not going to because they're winning.
But some of the ultras groups did protest recently, last season, I think, or earlier this season, right? Marcus, do you remember something about that?
The Bayern ultras, you mean, or,
yes,
or what?
The Bayern.
Yeah, I ignore that a bit. What happens in Bayern? To be honest,
I don't blame you.
I don't know, but maybe can we rephrase what happened? Because I think that's actually quite nice what the sport journalist did, because usually they are not so criticized. Well, I didn't see it, but I just know vaguely what happened. Like, Rummenigge was there at some kind of, like, it was ARD sports studio, like it's some, or something like that. And like around where, you know, like where you always talk positive about football, there's not much criticism. If there is criticism, then it's always very light and very friendly. But then this time, like the interviewer, he said something like, I just try to rephrase it more or less, but so what do you think about Qatar? Why do you think like people do not like that? And then Rummenigge said, well, it's a different country, like it's a different country with a different culture. and then the interviewer said,
yeah,
well,
that's what he said.
But like ignoring human rights or violating human rights has nothing to do with culture. And apparently he did not know what to answer about that.
Yes.
These kind of political statements, you don't see them often in, like, in public TV. So it's you see it, but not in this context, like not in this sport context. If Bayern München is sitting on the stage, so that's something new and good.
I think it was on ZDF.
Oh, ZDF, yeah.
I think it was on ZDF, but yeah. I mean, actually, in this case, I think Rummenigge would have been better off just saying, "This is a pandemic. We take the money where we can find it." You know, had he said that, it would have been blunt, but it would have been honest. And I think people would have understood.
It would have been true.
Where he came from a little bit, maybe. Yes, it would. Yeah. So I don't know. And apparently, I don't know if that's a rumor or if it's a fact, but apparently, Simon, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I wouldn't want to support the Qatar government in any way, shape or form, but, they're having a World Cup there, are they not?
Yes. next year.
If you're looking at leadership in football, right at the top, there you go. They're following the money.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
Which is...
If you want...
distasteful. But
unfortunate. Yes. But, apparently Oliver Kahn will replace Rummenigge next season. Is that true? And apparently, Kahn is much more aware of those issues, and maybe he will work on maybe not solving the problem, but like maybe smoothing things over.
I don't know. I have.
Anyway,
either that or so
the basic response. Yeah, basic response is who gives a shit. So I shouldn't have brought it up.
No. If it's Oliver Kahn,
if it's Oliver Kahn, rather than smoothing things over, he'll probably knock some heads together, I expect. But there you go.
Yeah, maybe cause a war.
Who knows?
Cause a global war. Do we have anything else to cover, or is that it pretty much? There is one last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, but before we get to that, is there anything else? Is there...
One of the questions I had said...
Please.
Which I think would be very interesting to hear what you guys would think. So if we are relegated, I still don't think we are. Which players do you think we would lose? Because I think that'd be... talked about going ahead and winning the Bundesliga. That's like the Bundesliga right again. If we lose all these players, I think it also could be a good thing for players like Zeefuik, who are more at a Bundesliga 2 level, to be able to play in that and then get the experience. And then it would be good for Martin in that. But we could lose some big players. For me personally, I think Piatek and Cunha would be gone, which would be massive losses.
That was the exact two names I had in mind, Piatek especially. And yeah, Cunha, I don't think would want to play in the zweite Bundesliga for sure. The others, I mean, Khedira is his contract is until the end of the season. I don't think he would want to, you know, stay there in the second division. Guendouzi, I don't know. I have no idea.
Guendouzi is on loan, so.
Yeah, but I don't think Arsenal would want him back. So they might sell him to someone else, to a third team somewhere, maybe back in France. I don't know.
I think we might. One of the good things, talking about Zeefuik, I think Pekarik will have another season. I think if we stay in the first Bundesliga, Pekarik might be his last season. If you go to the second league, then Pekarik might have a second season because he's still good enough for the second league, not season, sorry. Jahrstein, I don't know. I would like Jahrstein to remain, but Cunha will go. Piontek will go as well. Lecky would have a second chance.
Lecky is never going away.
But his contract ends this year.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess the Hertha rookies, they could remain, like Maxi and Martin Dardai and Luka Netz. Well, Luka Netz and Martin, they're too young to leave. Well, for them, it could be like a challenge. Maxi could remain maybe because he's a real Herthaner, so it might be that he's the one bringing us back to the league again. But I'm not sure about Jordan Torunariga because he is he's of course too good to go into the second league, and he's maybe now on his next step, which he could do with Hertha if Hertha remains in the first league, but then second league would be really a step back, which for Maxi it's not so much, I think. I think Jordan will have much more of a career than Maxi, maybe, but I like Maxi as well. Yeah, these are my super intelligent thoughts about that.
Simon, what do you think?
Sounds more intelligent than any thoughts I might have.
Ronnie is back in Berlin.
Oh, is he?
So he was good.
Ronnie!
For the second league. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a chap that could take a free kick back in the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Which team is he playing with right now? I forgot.
I remember somebody from the Axel Kruse Jugend went to... The game, it's
Do you have a team called Who Ate All the Pies in Berlin?
What? Who ate all the pies?
There's a terrible lag here, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past.
Roll, Ronnie. When he was good, he was very good, Ronnie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. So, so what I wanted to talk to you guys about is I've seen it on the Axel Kruse Jungen, the initiative called Ihr könnt auf uns zahlen.
Oh, yeah.
Markus, do you want to tell us about it a little bit?
Yes. This has been an initiative taken by Elf Freunde, like 11 Friends, this magazine. I don't know if people in the US or UK know Elf Freunde. It's a magazine. It's a very good magazine because they're not like the normal sports journalism, but they are doing a bit more. They also write about sports, but they have a bit of a different approach to summarize what they actually do. Now they started a campaign with, I think, about 200 sportists. I don't know if that's a word. With 200 sportists, footballers mostly, holding plate into the camera, which says like,
yeah, a sign into the camera. It's like a little white sign with...
Ihr könnt davon zählen. It's a white sign, yeah. And with the hashtag Ihr könnt davon zählen, which means you can count on us. And it's a campaign which wants to give to homosexual players like the psychological, like or like give them courage. Like if you feel like you want to have a coming out, you can count on us. So we support you. And this is done by 200 players, which is a very nice thing. Many fans joined that initiative on Twitter, like put the hashtag and then made pictures of ourselves. We did it with the Axel Kruse Jugend as well, and we will create some posters on it. And that's so much about this campaign. I was quite annoyed that on Saturday, like, Denis Aogo, well, they talked a bit on Sky, they talked about it on Sky, and then Denis Aogo said, yeah, but football is not, it's a very, very good initiative, but football is not ready to have gay players having their coming out. And then I thought, are you stupid? Like, insert some kind of words here. Why are you, you know, like, what does it think that this campaign is for? If, you know, if then he comes with such a sentence saying such a thing, he kills everything what other people try to, you know, other people try to make courage, and then there's one ex-player then says completely the opposite. You know, this is, oh, if, well, what he said, if I would be gay, I would not have my coming out because I think football is not ready. What, you know, like, oh, just with one sentence in TV, like he kills this all. And I was so annoyed, like, really was so annoyed. I still need to write something about it because this so annoys me, because this kills this everything. Sorry, I repeated this message this time.
No, that's absolutely fine, and I agree with you. And especially okay, so that's maybe another discussion entirely. Denis Aogo is German, but he is also black, so he, I don't know how to say this, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but like, I thought maybe he could relate in a way, like, you know, that feeling left out in a way, that maybe he could have some empathy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it's even more surprising coming from him, you know? I don't know. But yeah, hopefully, yeah, that's another episode. Is professional football ready for an openly gay active player? Because I mean, there's been a few players who came out, but after retiring.
Yeah,
I mean the same goes with all pro sports. You know, is the National Hockey League ready for an openly gay player active? I don't think it is. It's sad to say, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick, you're in Wisconsin. There is a big hockey scene there. Are you? Do you follow the NHL?
We don't get an NHL team in Wisconsin for some reason.
But you should. I mean, right? It's hockey is big there.
Yeah, but no NHL team. But a lot of people do support. I've never gotten into hockey. It's interesting. I try to watch it. I have friends that watch it. It's just
so you're okay. You're not into a hockey. Okay, so okay, kick members. Kick. Check. All right.
I tried hockey as well, but I didn't get into it. I can't see the puck. That's so horrible. I don't know what they play.
You need a better TV. You need a better TV then.
I think I need better eyes to see it. That's my thing.
Possible.
I'm too distracted during hockey. You're drinking beer, chatting, and then, ooh, so what are they chasing there? A bird?
But honestly, before HD, you're right. Before HD, it was difficult. It wasn't always easy to follow what was going on. That's absolutely true.
In England, I don't know about in your countries, but they used to have a competition in the newspaper called Spot the Ball, where they photoshopped out the ball from a scene in a soccer game, and you had to guess where the ball was. So I think it happened here. I don't think it happens anymore, but it used to be a competition in newspapers. I was just thinking that ice hockey is like that in video, like spot the ball or spot the puck. Where is it? You can see all these people running around. You have to try to guess where the puck is.
Yeah, it is spot the ball for 3 hours straight in real time. Awesome. That sounds like fun. All right. So, yeah, I messed up. I said, ihr könnt auf uns zahlen. It is zählen. So, my bad. Do we have anything else to cover today or any final thoughts?
Nick, you're the newbie. You need to help us out.
I mean, all it did this last week was it made me realize everybody on RB Leipzig has very punchable faces.
Yes.
And the fact that everybody that I know who likes soccer calls them Red Bull, it just frustrates me more. And then it didn't turn out well. I was drinking and then I got into an argument with a friend because he called them Red Bull. I'm like, no, it's Rasenballsport. It's lawn ball. And then he couldn't speak German, so he thought I was crazy.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
But yeah. This is a nice closing sentence, I think.
I think what that guy says, what your friend said, I think that might apply to all Hertha fans. He thought I was crazy. that applies to all Hertha fans. All friends of Hertha fans, we all got that said to us at some point. Why don't you cheer for Bayern? They are good. I'm done talking about Bayern. Sorry.
No.
Okay, so perhaps not. Perhaps, anyway.
Oh, that's my other story. When I went home for Christmas after when I was coming back, so I came back the day after the Schalke game, and my dad gave me two bottles of beer, and they're very nice because I only drink cheap beer, and he goes, oh, you can have these the next time Hertha win. It's now been eight games.
He didn't want you to have them then.
Yeah, they're going to go bad. Hopefully you can have them.
Hopefully you've got a long shelf life.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Thank you, Nick.
Yes, always grateful. Happy to be here. It was very fun. So.
All right, I'm glad you enjoyed. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
And we will see you on the next one. So until then, AOA.
That's a BSC.